And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. We're here. We're not in the clear. We're driving cars. We're getting through this together. Zuckerman's here acting like a dope and a monkey as usual. He's got Zuckerman. You're like Fats. You're like my dad. You can't help but fool around.
Get ready for the show, Ferris.
Yeah, get ready.
The head of an alligator.
Get ready for it, for the show. Anyway, we have a decent show for you today. We have a great show, as a matter of fact. Jay Leno's going to be calling in a moment. And it's always good to check in with him. I spoke to him, Zuckerman, last week on his birthday. And I forgot to wish him a happy birthday, so I'm going to do that. Hard. Jerry's birthday was the day later or day before. Both those guys, perfect guests for the show. Comedians and car guys, right? Nobody can complain about that. And we hope you're all doing well in the face of this...
This unprecedented?
Precedented? No, it's actually not unprecedented. There's
in our lifetimes.
In our lifetimes, yes. And like I was mentioning Zuckerman before the show. I was reading the New York Times before I came here. It didn't seem like the United States, we got the result we wanted to, and this thing was going to go on a lot longer. I think we flattened the curve, but they said now June is going to be worse than May, which I didn't expect. Anyway.
We really don't know how to handle this. That's the answer. Nobody knows. Nobody understands why some hot countries don't have it. Some hot countries like Brazil do have it.
That's reporting, don't you think?
Some people, who knows? Some
human
countries
beings.
With older populations are doing poorly. Some with older populations like Japan are doing better. Nobody fucking knows. And everybody just wants it to be over. And as I said,
I think they do boredom, know. It does feel like they know, Zuckerman. I don't
really.
Yeah.
They don't know.
What do you mean they don't know?
They don't know really why this is acting the way it does. It does not exactly act according to the models that they've had.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, it's just like I'm not going to equate it with a flu, but flu sweeps across the world every year and it kind of affects everybody the same way. And it's seasonal and it also affects different geographic areas differently and hits the East Coast over the West Coast. It's easy to track. It's just that the reporting is not, some governments aren't reporting their stats anyways.
Well, okay. If that's your position,
it is.
I'll accept it.
It's science. It's simple. Anyway, let's talk about cars, Zuckerman, because you and I were going to meet for coffee, right?
Right.
This Sunday. And I sensed it was going to be annoying, but when we showed up, we had to leave. The amount of people in that parking lot, the amount of cars.
200 plus?
Yeah, it was not good. And I don't know.
What threw me off was there was a guy. He came marching across the parking lot to talk to you. And he had a mask on his face. And when he got within a 2-foot range, within a droplet range, he pulled the mask down to shout at you. And I had to restrain myself from saying, what the fuck is wrong with you? You put the mask up when you talk to somebody.
Yes,
you don't pull it down to spray your aerosol drops of putrid germs all over us. And then we got the fuck out of there.
He was a car matchmaker fan.
He was. Well, he wasn't even a daily double because he wasn't fat and stupid. He was just stupid.
Oh, wow. Well, he seems like a decent guy. I didn't mind chatting with him for a second. When I'm outside, I don't quite worry about things. But I was looking across the parking lot going, okay, any minute someone's going to take a photo and this whole collection of car guys is going to be on TMZ, and then we're going to be the Orange County beach of the car world,
right?
And
looking stupid.
I don't want to be part of that. And you know, it was bad. There was no social distancing. There was no anything. There were a lot of cool cars.
There was a Maserati Bora. That Maserati Bora was fantastic. Whoever drove that Bora to the show gets major points.
Wow, I missed that car.
It was gorgeous, absolutely stunning.
A lot of great BMWs. Earlier in the week, somebody pulled up in a Gullwing, a couple of German guys, which is nice. I had the Zagato. I'm also driving that Sport Turismo, the Panamera GTS Sport Turismo, which is a really interesting wagon for right now, right? We have a 4-liter twin turbo V8 GTS. So not as fast as that Turbo S model that really hauls ass. This is like 450 horsepower, equal amount of torque, a little more. And all-wheel drive. But it's hard to kind of review it now with the pandemic, Zuckerman, because there's no driving, right? So I would, this is a dad mobile for the dad that likes the sports car, right? That wants launch control and then wants to throw the Little League equipment in the back and go to the Little League field. But there's none of that driving right now. So again, it's like, you remember when I returned the 992? It's just like this, I don't feel
doesn't
like.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I'm not going anywhere. So what am I doing with this? I'd rather take a drive for groceries in an old, difficult driver like the Zagato.
It's a wonderfully executed station wagon that I don't really understand. Like, seeing you when it seemed so odd at this time. Yes, because little Spike in the big,
little,
giant
I'm
car.
I'm 5'10".
Okay, little Spike in the big, giant car.
What are you talking about?
Well, you might be 5'10 on your license, but in real life, maybe, I don't know. But it's a giant, giant car. It really is big.
It's very large.
And I got thrown off by the color. And you always tell me press cars have funny colors.
Well, they're, like I said, there are only two press car colors. There's Mamba Green, which Matt Farah
and
just reviewed.
And Dr. Pepper.
And Mahogany Metallic, the dark brown, which the internet really liked.
And I thought it looked like Dr. Pepper in real life that was thrown on a car. I didn't like it. And I'm used to driving on Sunset with you in two sports cars. We track really well. And that thing.
What did you have that day we drove out there? I don't remember.
I had something appropriate, something small, two-door.
You had the red car, the 964?
Yeah, I must have had the red 964.
Right.
And yeah, it just was like looking at you. You were going fast. You were keeping in your lane, but it's
but
a lot of
car. That's not a car to really go fast
it's
in.
It's a lot of
turns.
Car to keep in your lane. Does sound good?
It is. It's very large. But then, again, that's why I'm saying, like, you know, you get in it and you put everybody in it and then you put your gear in the hatchback and you've got something, right? And I love right. the way it looks. Like, one thing I really love about cars is when I'm walking back from wherever I am going to the space where my car is at and the way it looks. It looks way better than it feels when you're inside it. When you're inside it is very large, but I can't tell if I'm just reacting that way because I had the Zagato in the garage at the same point, which is like getting in a tiny paperclip box, like tin or something, and then getting into this other thing. I'm not saying I don't like this car. I like this car a lot. I think I would just rather have
a Range Rover Sport?
No, the Turbo. The Panamera Turbo e-hybrid or Turbo S e-hybrid.
With like, the normal back end and not the station wagon thing?
No, I love the Sport Turismo piece of it. I do like that
do.
A lot. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, again, like all I've done is load groceries. Usually I'm hauling kids and equipment and stuff, and it's got a bigger back end. And you just open up the back, it's tremendous. And you, when you close the doors to this thing, Zuckerman, it's one of those close out the world cars.
I guess. I mean, I had my kids
it's
a long
so
time
quiet.
Ago. I'm so past that age of going to Little League and sporting events and having to be
yeah,
with
I'm
other
not.
Couples and their
right.
kids. You waited much later in life, I think, to the wrong time to have kids, but I had them at the right
You're
time.
So
but
judgmental.
Regardless,
wrong time.
At the wrong time, regardless.
The
wrong time.
I like my situation. It's great.
It's good, you know, if that's what you like,
I think
it's
if
okay.
there are old dads out there, they'll disagree. It's the that's greatest so time to have kids is when you're older. What else is there to do?
Remember when Tony Randall had kids?
At 89. I was working with him, yes.
Yes,
I do remember
when? Remember. That guy, what was his name, Marshall, with Anna Nicole Smith? That was one of my favorite pictures. Him in the wheelchair,
right.
grinning
won.
Like a toothless
he goes,
monkey.
I did it. I did it. I won, and I did it. Anyway, I'm not going to say anything else other than I think if I would go to the Sport Turismo, I'd get... is there a turbo package on the Sport Turismo?
I have no clue. Can't
if there
tell
isn't,
you.
I would go with the Turbo S, and I would go with the Turbo SE Hybrid right now.
What is the price point on that thing? Do you have any idea?
On this car?
Yeah.
The GTS is about 150, 134 sticker, 150 with everything in. It's right in the middle. That's what kind of makes it a little tricky, right?
Of what? High and higher?
No, between a base Panamera and then the Turbo S, right? But here, you know, you want me to be, you know, we're really drilling down and getting granular here. If I had the money and I was going to spend the money on something like this, I would go into the Taycan.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
And this is a 2019 and we're in the middle of 2020. So, you know, I think that that's where I would go. It's led me there. I saw that the dealerships have Taycan 4Ss now that aren't
really
so expensive. A little cheaper than this.
Really?
Yeah, and that they have this really great blue. Have you seen that blue?
I have not.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's this light blue, kind of like Meissen blue color. Tremendous.
Really? Is it metallic or non-metallic?
It's non-metallic.
Fantastic.
You know, Chrono Caliber, Zuckerman, They're giving back to help charities impacted by COVID-19. They're having what's called giving time auctions. They're going to auction off watches and give all the money to charity. How about that? CrownandCaliber.com. Their first auction featured watches by IWC, Omega. They did A Dark Side of the Moon. You know I like that watch. And they raised $25,000 for charity. How about that? The next one will kick off mid-May, which is coming right up. So you guys can go to crownandcaliber.com/givingtime, crownandcaliber.com/givingtime to be notified when it will go live. These are super cool watches that you can only find on Crown and Caliber. And again, all the money goes to charity, which means you can write it off, Zuckerman. Is that how it works?
Well, I guess. I'm not an tax attorney. I'm an accident lawyer.
Not a tax attorney. I'm an accident. Put your phone down. Come on.
People are calling me about cases. And
I don't give a fuck.
Monday morning, somebody got shot in the head.
Really?
Yeah. Cops. Cops shot an unarmed man in the head.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know if it was a good shooting or not.
Tell me, will that affect the way he thinks?
Yeah, well, he's dead. So, yes.
You know, he's dead.
Yes.
Oh, God. You must see a lot of death in your career.
I've seen more than my fair share. The pictures are terrible.
Yeah. At what point did you get used to the pictures? What did you just become numb to them?
It's just business. It's not someone you know.
Right.
If you then later you learn a lot about the person who was deceased, it can become very affecting. Mm. And then it's always affecting if it's a child.
Oh, yeah. Don't.
As a child. But if it's an adult, you look, it's just, okay. It's clinical, Ferrison, like I'm a doctor. Dr. Zuckerman to you.
Can you imagine that? Dr. Zuckerman. Hey, come on in. Sit down there. Put on your hospital, Johnny, so I can watch. I want to watch you put it on, miss.
You are a sick human being, Ferrison.
I'm just channeling you. Well, I have a sore throat.
Yeah. Why?
Bend over the table there. I got to take your temperature with this. That's your finger, Dr. Zuckerman.
I'm going to tell you, we have had cases against certain doctors who would do things like that.
Of course.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Do things like that. This woman went into a doctor who is now since deceased. She complained of neck pain, and he put his finger into her butthole. And it was very uncomfortable for everybody involved.
You get her money, though, for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you're not allowed to do that.
And is he no longer practicing, I hope?
Well, he's dead, so yes, he's not practicing any longer, but he's dead.
So this was his last move.
He had these moves, yes. So these were his go-to moves.
Unbelievable. What else can we talk about? What else have we been driving during this
We've
quarantine?
We've driven a lot of cars.
Because Mr. Leno's calling in a minute, and we'll get into that. I don't know if I have any further notes on the Zagato. There's a little bit of a hesitation in third gear, which is interesting. But it's racing hesitation. Right, it wants you to go up and out of three and into four, and then it blows.
It's the transmission or it's the engine, the carburetors. What do you think? What are you telling me here?
That it's this thing set up for racing. I don't think it's a problem. I think the engine is kind of set up for racing, and you feel it in third gear.
You're trying to shift at about 3,000 RPMs in this little dead spot?
No. When you are, the way this is geared, so when you're on the PCH, when
that's
you're driving,
thing. That's the correct way of saying
and
it.
You come off the 10 onto the PCH, You know how some cars just have a cruising gear when you're at speed limit, right?
Yeah.
In this car, you're in third gear.
Right.
If you drop it into fourth, it's the RPMs are a little too low for the car to relax.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So as you're up around 4,000 or 5,000 RPMs in third gear, doing about 55, 60, there's just a little bit of a jumpy jump. So you have to pop it a little higher, but that has you speeding a little bit. Do you see what I'm saying?
I understand.
But the only, you know what it reminds me of is Jerry's 550 that day we were driving those. Remember? Like it real race car stuff. So a real race car just wants to accelerate or decelerate. It doesn't like to cruise at a steady speed, right?
Right.
And it's not so pronounced that it bothers me.
But I like speeding. So I don't know if
it's, I would. It kind of adds to the gentleman racer driving experience of the car.
That car gets a lot of positive attention.
Oh, it's
looks
crazy.
Wise, it really, people just flip out over
I just
the
avoided.
Car.
I was going to come down Sunset and get on the 405, but there was a.
Why are you saying that so pronounced?
I mean, if people don't want me to say the PCH. They want me to say PCH. I'm not going to do it.
Why would you say, like, I got on 10? You wouldn't say I got on 10.
Pacific Coast Highway.
I got on the 10.
The.
If you're on the East Coast, you wouldn't say I got on Van Wyck Expressway. You would say the Van Wyck.
I love the adjustments.
The Van Wyck.
As if we're going to give a shit in this place today about what you tell us to do. Actually, we kind of do. Anyway, so Zuckerman, I don't think the Zagato's registered yet, is it?
No.
So I was pulling onto the on-ramp and there was a California Highway Patrol guy there and I decided to avoid him. He looked like he was doing the worst kind of radar there is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
When they sit on the on-ramp and you go by them
and
to the left, you can't even see them.
And then they descend on you.
And they hit you from the back. He was doing that.
And then they descend on you like fighter planes.
Yeah, that happened.
I got a ticket 2 weeks ago for speeding.
You did?
I did. Yep. Yeah.
There are a lot of them all of a sudden.
Yep.
Well,
my luck was out.
What's that?
My luck was out.
Did you feel like that?
Yes.
What is that 24-hour period we feel when we dent or ding our cars or getting a speeding ticket and you feel depressed?
It's like after a spree, like if you went out on a drunken spree or a coke binge, after the party's over, you have pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. That's the same way a ticket is.
Yeah.
You feel like, you were riding high and then Johnny Law got you and now your behavior has to be modified because who wants to endure two tickets at once?
It's a reprimand.
You've been snapped with a very wet towel right between the eyes.
See, I believe that we are walking around here. I'm just going to adjust this because Shay's going to call. That we're walking around with this, I'm invincible. After a while, you feel like, all right, I got this. I'm invincible. I can goose it every once in a while. I'm not going to get in trouble. I've figured it out. I know where the speed traps are.
And then your luck runs out.
And then, boom, flicked in the nose.
And this is a time, the police are really heavily patrolling right now on the streets and on the freeways.
Yes.
And I got it on La Brea.
Oh,
And I will say that in this experience, the motorcycle cop was an absolute gentleman. He was a prince to deal with. It was one of the few times I did not resent getting a ticket. His manner in approaching me and talking to me, he didn't give me the authority voice. He just came up to me and had a conversation with me like a person, which is really a nice way for it to be done. I could accept it very well from him.
So you didn't yell at him or
I didn't have to battle with him. Not
him
like the guy who said, "What's your deal, man?" Remember that whole one in the M1? "What's your deal?" And I wouldn't answer because that's not really a question. When that guy pulled me over, he kept saying, "What's your deal?" And I didn't respond. And then he finally said, "Are you going to answer me?" And I said, "Your question is unintelligible. Are you saying my deal? Aces over queens? Clubs are wild? Clubs are Trump? What does that mean?" And that's when he said, "You're driving like an asshole." And I said, "You just called me an asshole."
Did you get out of that ticket?
Yes, he would not give me a ticket.
So remind me, because I was just thinking about this the other day. You just called me an asshole. That put him back on his feet a little bit.
Yes.
And then what did you say?
He said,
"I
did not call you an asshole." I said, "Yes, you did." He said, "I told you were driving like an asshole." And I said, "That's calling me an asshole." I said, "So give me a ticket for whatever vehicle code driving like an asshole is. And then when you're done giving me a ticket, please have your supervising officer, come down.
Really?
Yes, have your lieutenant come down here so we can discuss your interactions with me calling me an asshole. And then he,
is that really a problem?
Yes, they're not allowed to call you an asshole, Ferriston.
What is that? I mean, what law is that? They're not?
They're not.
It seems like they do that all the time and punch you in the head.
Well, okay, that's a little different.
What's wrong with calling you an asshole? That's what I mean. You kind of were acting like one.
Well, he has a job to do, and he's not allowed to be furious and enraged like that. So
you really could have got over if you decided to apply what you know about the law to him.
Yes, but you know, I'm in a privileged position as a middle-aged guy, clearly kind of a professional.
I have older,
maybe with some means. I did put him back on his feet. He didn't know how to handle me.
Right.
Because I was so unimpressed with his display of anger and irateness. What do you fucking want from me? Okay. So you don't like how I'm driving. So what are you going to do? Yell at me? You're not my wife. You're not my dad. Why are you laughing? You want to talk like that? Talk like that to your kids.
I want to get a dash cam and I want to aim it at you as you drive around LA, Zuckerman. This would be the show we need to do.
We did it in the Taycan, remember?
I don't want to be in the car. I want every minute of your driving and your daily interactions with humanity to be
horrible.
Recorded.
I become a different, horrible person when driving. I become so judgmental.
I know, but
I hate everybody I see.
I would put this on the show. I would put this on a screen, and I would watch this at night and eat pizza right after my beautiful friend. Zuckerman interactions.
I feel like I'm surrounded by stupidity.
Do you think that has to do with your feelings about yourself?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Insecurity and superiority all mixed together. Don't you know who I am when I'm going down the street?
Arrogant stupidity.
Yes.
I've always said that. I'm just dumb enough to know how stupid I am.
And I'm just dumb enough to know how stupid you are.
But if you're so dumb, but there is a level of stupidity where you don't know how dumb you are. I'm not that. But I know I'm dumb. And I know I have to check things before I say them. That's the difference between me, dumb guy, and a really dumb guy. Do you see what I'm saying there?
You look much more you look milder than me. And so when I lock onto somebody with my face,
yep.
And I'm looking at somebody, they instantly know that I'm giving it to them. I'm giving them the business when I look at them.
Let's call Jay Leno. Oh, my God. I'm sorry about that.
You and your phlegm. You're giving me the business.
I know. Well, I can't get my shots now. Oh, I just lost his number.
Get me the needles and get me the serum.
I wish I could get all of it and I would do it, but I'm out here. It's Jay Leno's number. Okay, I'm calling him right now.
You and your shots.
Shut up.
Please, you and your message. Thanks.
Feeble Ferriston.
Hi, Jay. It's Spike. Let us try calling you again. Maybe he's going to try to call us right now.
Feeble Ferriston in his frail ways.
You're frail.
Feeble Ferriston in his frail feelings.
I'm not feeble. I never said that. Should we try calling him again or just go?
Let's give his number out to everyone. Hey, folks, here's Jay's number. Feel free to call
him. You know what?
Talk about cars.
Oh, he just called. Here you go. He would love that. He loves interacting with people.
Hello.
Hey, Jay. Spike Ferriston.
Show people. What's going on?
And Paul Zuckerman here.
Hello, Jay.
It's good. Good, gentlemen.
Are you doing all right? What are you doing now?
Right now, I'm trying to find a brake light switch for a 55 Packard Caribbean because the brake light switch also controls the levelizer and the suspension. So that's what I'm doing.
So the Packard Caribbean, that was like the last gasp for Packard in the 50s, that had what kind of a suspension for a leveler?
It had torsion bar suspension. It's an amazingly comfortable car to drive. The torsion bars compensate for level. Like when you sit on the fender, the car sinks and then you hear and it comes up and gets level again. So no matter how many people you put in the car, it always drives flat and level.
Wow. What do you think of the looks of that car? Do you like the front end?
The front end of the Packard?
Yeah, the Caribbean.
Well, what it was Packard was pretty much on their last legs by 1955. This is the last ditch effort. They put a lot of lead in the hood. The hood is so heavy, they had to put a rod in it to hold it up because it would literally come down and decapitate people because they had no money to redo the car, so they just used a lot of lead and filler to make it look a little different. Plus, Packard made a big mistake. They kept a straight eight engine for too long. Mm. When General Motors, everybody else had V8s and overhead valves. So 55 was their first V8 engine, and it came with 2 4-barrel carburetors. And it's one of the years of the Ultramatic. It's the Ultra, you know, it has all those kind of silly names and stuff. You know, Brake-O-Matic, all that kind of stuff. So, but it's an interesting piece of history, you know. Mm.
Jay, what do you tell us about your quarantine? We were checking in with everybody. Jerry's out in Long Island doing his thing, taking drives. What is Jay Leno doing throughout this whole thing?
The same thing I did before the quarantine. I mean, I just come to my garage and I work on cars and I go home. And, you know, actually the quarantine is great because I can go, honey, I wanted to take you to the new vegan restaurant, but it's against the law. We can't, you know, In-N-Out is over. Let me grab some burgers from In-N-Out. We'll go there when this is over, you know. So that part of it is good, you know.
The driving is good.
The driving is excellent. Driving is excellent. But, you know, the whole world is like upside down. Like I went to the bank the other day and they call the cops because the only one there not wearing a mask. It makes no sense. Hey, thank you very much. I know. What do you do? You sit home and you write stupid coronavirus jokes. You know?
You're not performing anywhere.
No, I did Mar last week, but no, there's nowhere to perform. And, you know, that's the weird part. There's literally nowhere in the world to perform.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've been trying to get some piston rings made for a steam engine I have, because steam engine piston rings are a bit different. So I called my guy, he's in Scotland, and he says, no, I got the coronavirus, Jay. We shouldn't do it. Okay. So then I've got an old Bugatti, and there's a guy in Argentina who makes springs for me. I mean, way down up in the mountains in Argentina where they can pound metal and temper steel and, you know, literally blacksmith stuff. And he's same problem. He goes, no, I can't. My guys are all out with coronavirus.
Wow.
I mean, it's literally the whole world. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I know Italy just opened up today, though. They relax things. There are a bunch of people in St. Mark's Square in Venice. What do you we've been asking folks what their favorite quarantine driver is. Have you changed your daily? What do you think is the...
Yes, because I've been driving my 1950 Plymouth 6-cylinder station wagon. You know, it's an old timey looking car.
Uh-huh.
Big white wall tires, very utilitarian, 3-speed on the tree, 2-door, green. You know, this is not the time to be driving an Aventador so you look like some Lamborghini, you know, some deposed dictator's idiot son with open pipes tearing up and down, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's funny because I've got this 50 Plymouth. And my wife and I went to the store the other day. And there's a line of people waiting to get in the store. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving in and people see the car and it just sort of makes them smile, you know. Mm. And this old guy comes over and goes, oh, my mom had one of those when I was a kid, you know, blah, blah. And then this young couple in their 20s come over and the girl goes, oh, this is so much cooler than a minivan, you know. This would be a much cooler thing to have than a minivan, you know. And then the guy who is also in his 20s goes, hey, what's a Plymouth? The old guy next to me just thought that was the funniest thing. And he just thought that was the funniest thing in the world, you know. And he realized, hey, here's a car that kind of makes people happy.
Right.
You know, you pull in with it and it reminds people of when there wasn't a coronavirus, even though it's not that long ago. It seems like it is. You know, you pull in some fancy supercar with loud pipes and it just annoys people. But this is the kind of thing where it seems to take people back to another era where they kind of go, oh, that's kind of cool. And, you know, it's not fast. It's not flashy. It's got the old radio where when you turn the radio, it goes click. And then, you know, the deep bass comes in you get from tube radios, mm-hmm. you know. So that's a good That's a good vehicle to drive during a pandemic.
Yeah, yeah. The Lamborghini crowd was out in Malibu this weekend. We were talking about it earlier today, but we had about 200 people at the Malibu Country Mart. No social distancing.
It wasn't a good
lots
look.
Of cars. It's gotten out of hand. Because driving is one of the few things you can do during this quarantine. Except it's...
You know, it's funny because... It's what saved a lot of people in Los Angeles. You go to New York and, you know, everybody's on subways and crowded and, you know, you can't social distance, you know. Whereas here, you know, it's interesting. When this pandemic first came around in 1918, I lost my aunt, actually. My family's pretty old. My grandfather was born in 1857 and my dad was born in 1910. And his sister, he was... 8 at the time. She was 18.
Wow.
And she got the coronavirus. And on her wedding day, they took her to the chapel on a stretcher in her wedding dress. And they put the ring on her finger in the church. And she died later that night. That was the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
That was that last one. So, do you know why it's called Spanish flu, by the way?
I don't.
It's interesting because it has nothing to do with being Spanish. It didn't originate there. But during World War I, Germany, France, England, America, the United States, all the countries involved in World War I, which Spain was not, they all had the pandemic. They all had the flu. But none of the countries would report how many were dead because they felt it would give aid and comfort to the enemy and make them look weak and susceptible. So the only country who could get facts was Spain. So all the information came out of Spain. France has 20,000 dead. Germany has 80,000 dead. America has this many dead. So it was called the Spanish flu because the information all came from Spain. But it didn't originate there and had nothing to do with being Spanish.
Wow, look at that, Zuckerman.
That's a wonderful history lesson. I love that.
Let's talk cars. Hey, you know, you were working on a 911T, if I recall. Amethyst?
Yes.
Last time I saw you and I was over at the garage, maybe that was a year ago. Is that car done? What have you done to that car?
It's all done. It's all. Nothing radical. It was a one-owner car I found in Beverly Hills. And
right.
I always tell people, you know, if you're looking for cars, go to rich neighborhoods, Palm Beach, Florida. Well, because you're likely to find a car that's been garaged, maybe abandoned, but been garaged. I mean, a perfect example of this, I found 3 miles from my house, this woman calls me, 94 years old, and 93, 94. And she's got a 66 Lincoln Continental she bought new, okay? And she says to me, you know, I ordered it with everything except FM because I didn't know if that would last. I didn't want to pay $75 for something I would never use. So she buys a 66 Lincoln Girl. And she tells me she was Marilyn Monroe's roommate when Marilyn first came to Hollywood in the 40s. Okay, and this picture of her with Marilyn. Okay. So I go over to her house in Beverly Hills. And it's like a scene from Sunset Boulevard. She comes down the stairs, and you know something? She looked maybe in her 50s or 60s, you know, wearing some sort of elegant pantsuit thing, and she had her hair done. And I mean, you could see she was, I mean, she's still a nice lady, but you could see she was once a beautiful starlet.
Right, know? Right.
And she lived in the village. She'd take this thing to Beverly Hills Country Club to get the nail salon, to the beauty salon, to the supermarket, and go home. And she put 1,000 miles a year on it for about 60 years.
Wow.
And I looked at this thing and I thought, well, I got to buy this. You know, I didn't want a 66 Lincoln four-door convertible, but it's perfect. I mean, there's a few little dings, but nothing really bad, you know? And I said, oh, okay. So that's also how I found my 911T. A guy bought it new. He moved to Beverly. He lived in Beverly Hills in a condo. I think his mother got sick. He took care of her. Then she died. Then he got sick. And then it was parked for about 23, 24 years in an underground parking garage. And when I looked at it, it had 4 flat tires and, you know, blah, blah. but the body and everything was very straight. So he took it back to my garage and decided to do not a restomod on it, but went through the motor, took it to 2.5 liter. I didn't want to go much bigger than that. We put the twin plug heads on it, lightened the flywheel, beefed up the transmission a little bit, had to change the clutch because 71 was the year they had that weird reverse acting clutch, which it couldn't take the extra power. And right now it's probably putting about 2.25 horse. So it's
fast.
It's really
That's
quick. It's fun to drive. And it's that sepia brown, you know, that kind of baby color. That it was a color when I first looked at it. I went, oh, I hate this. But then when we buffed out the paint and everything, I realized it's such a 70s color. And people go crazy for it because you don't see that light brown color anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So now I really like it. Now I do not regret not changing it.
Wow, sepia brown finally coming into fashion, because that was the first 911 I had, 1974 sepia brown 911, and I just heard baby poop every few feet that I drove it. Baby poop, baby poop. They would point, baby poop.
but it's a wonderful car to drive.
It is. Well, yeah, they're great. They're great. I was looking, doing a little research online to chat with you this morning, and I saw this article on your upgraded Ford GT exhaust to titanium.
Oh, right.
And I wondered why you did that. I mean, the sound is spectacular on this exhaust, but isn't the exhaust on that car already spectacular sounding?
It sounds fine, but you save 30 pounds.
Oh, you do?
And
30.
And a company called me and said, hey, you know, we'll give you a good price on it and install it. And I said, okay.
Wow.
So came by and we put it in. And, you know, it weighs 5.5 pounds.
That was it.
And it's all street legal and all that because everything is after the cat.
Yeah.
You know? So it sounds good. And it's, yeah, fine. Why not?
But you're not a guy who cares about street legal, Jay. You're driving around in ferret tanks with machine guns on them and real bullets.
which is street legal.
The gun is?
Well, yes, you know.
Technicalities.
Now, am I correct? And also that Jay Leno's Garage is coming back to us Wednesday, May 20th at 10 p.m.?
All new episodes. We got Blake Shelton. We got a lot of stars on. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of cool because, you know, people are calling now to do the show.
Right. Because
people know it's not an ambush show. I don't care about your cocaine bust or your stupid divorce. We're just talking about what you drive and what influenced you. And, you know, it's fascinating to people, you know, like when Paul Allen came down once, you know, he's the Microsoft guy. What is he?
Mm-hmm.
Third richest guy in the world, something like that. He just passed away recently. But he was looking for a 73 Buick Electra because his dad used to take him for ice cream and stuff in that car. And that was his dream car. And it's just funny. You're the richest guy in the world, and your dream car is a 73 Buick. You know, that's what always makes it sort of interesting to me, that the vehicles that had an influence on people's lives. You know.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a great season. There's Tim Allen, Kelly Clarkson, John Hamm, Matt LeBlanc.
John Hamm was great. And Matt LeBlanc was great. You know, Matt LeBlanc's a real car guy. You know,
he
did Top Gear. But
sure.
I'll tell you a funny story with Matt LeBlanc. One day, he's on the Tonight Show with me. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. So he's on as a guest. So he goes, I'll see you later. So I leave. As I'm driving, I see this young woman broken down on the 101 near Buena Vista exit getting on there. Yeah. Is that the 101? No, so I guess the 130. Whatever, good reason for the one. So I pull over and I go, are you okay? She goes, well, I got a flat. I just came to town. Oh, my God. You're Jay Leno from the Tonight Show. I go, yeah, hi. Can I change your flat? Oh, my God. I can't believe you stopped. Okay. Just then, Matt LeBlanc is on the exit. sees me stop. So he pulls over. She goes, She goes to my, oh my God, it's Matt LeBlanc from Friends. I can't believe it. I'm like, when I talk to him, I'm like, Taylor, I'm kind of I'm Matt LeBlanc from Friends. And she's just screaming and jumping up. And I just take me, we'll change it tonight. She goes, I can't believe Matt LeBlanc and Taylor are changing my diet. Oh, this is the greatest day of my life. I'm so glad I moved to Hollywood. I mean, it was like the stupidest. It was hilarious. It was very funny.
And then Al Roker pulled up behind you in an ATV.
And ruined the whole thing. Yeah.
Just completely ruined the situation. Here's what I want to know about, though. Elon Musk is on this season with the Cybertruck.
Right.
What is that? Did you do a segment? Did you drive it? What is it like?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Well, it's very Tesla-like, and it's very quick. Some very clever. And you know what's interesting? Some people like the styling, some people don't. But the one thing it does do, it changes your perception of... Trucks have looked the same since, what, 1930? Mm-hmm. Basically a giant grill with some sort of aggressive thing in the front, you know. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't look like anything else you've ever seen before. So it immediately makes everything else look sort of old-fashioned. You know, the funny part was we drive around the truck, and, you know, he's a very impulsive guy. So I says, hey, how was that boring machine thing working out? He says, oh, good, good. You know, you've got a tunnel. It's under Los Angeles. And so I said, oh. He goes, hey, I got an idea. You want to see if you can drive the Cybertruck in the tunnel? I said, sure. Yeah, let's go do that. And he goes, well, I don't know if it's going to fit. I go, well, you never think, let's see if it fits. So we drive to the tunnel, and we have about a quarter of an inch on each side. And he goes, oh, that's perfect. Yeah, good, good, good. So now we're 60 feet down. You know, the tunnel is not 10 feet. It's
right.
60 feet down. So we drive the Cybertruck. We barely get it into the tunnel. And now we're going like 50, 60 miles an hour through the tunnel with a quarter inch on each side. And so we're going along. And we're talking about, you know, what if there's an earthquake? And he says to me, you know, this is the best place to be in an earthquake, 60 feet down. And I
sure.
said, why is that? And he said, well, because way in an earthquake, it's better to be in the ocean than on top of the ocean. I go, oh, that makes sense. Okay, so now we're driving. The tunnel is about a mile and a half, 2 miles. Okay, we come to the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And there's an elevator. It takes you six stories up to the ground. Okay, so we get out, and I press the button to get in the elevator. Now the elevator is coming up, and we're in some guy's backyard. I go, what's this? He go, oh, this guy lets us use his backyard in El Segundo. And we pull up, and there's a gas grill there and a broken bicycle and some other stuff, you know, and a little chain link fence around this.
What in God's
what
name?
Was now a hole in the ground. And then we drive off again. I mean, hilarious. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. So,
but
wait, the tunnel just goes.
The real game changer, too,
yeah.
is the semi.
Okay.
It's as big as a Peterbilt. It's electric. Imagine a semi that's faster than the fastest 911.
Wow.
Frightening almost.
It's like watching a building take off down the street.
Wow.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
I don't think I've seen that truck. Has he announced that?
Have I what?
Has he announced that? I don't think I've seen that truck.
I don't know if it's officially announced, but it's out there.
Wow.
I mean, I was in it. I mean, it's amazing, and it drives just like a... just like any other Tesla, you know, it's fascinating. You know, I really like Elon. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
You know, it's so funny because, like, most people think, like, bullet train. Oh, a train that goes 200 miles an hour. Yeah, that'd be cool. He's thinking 800 miles an hour in a vacuum tube. And you go, oh, okay. You know, he always takes it to the next level, which is pretty
right.
cool.
He knows how to disrupt. Like getting back to this boring tunnel, though. So it starts where and it ends in a guy's backyard in El Segundo?
Yeah, it starts at SpaceX, near SpaceX.
Okay, in Hawthorne.
It goes under Los Angeles.
Okay.
And the amazing thing is unlike a normal tunnel where you would have to have huge fans and ventilation to get the...
Mm-hmm.
noxious fumes from internal combustion, it's electric, so you don't need all of that.
What and about oxygen
truck, yeah.
What about oxygen to breathe?
Well, I mean, oxygen is pumped in, but I mean not at the level
Right.
I mean, when you have something like the Holland Tunnel and stuff, yeah. you know, you got all the, you've got these massive fans running, you know, and you hear the whirr, you know, just pulling the air out and pulling the air in. This is just pumping oxygen in from outside, but you don't have smoke. You don't have all the byproducts of internal combustion, you know.
Wow.
And then you come out like it's the Great Escape.
No, it's Shawshank Redemption, really. It's pushing through the grass and the mud, I think, is the image I have. Elon Musk and Jay Leno. Just
you know, one day we did a, I found it when I was doing The Tonight Show, when Shawshank Redemption came out, we found all the theaters that had mispronounced it. The one was the Sheepshank Deduction. just every possible permutation of getting it wrong. The Shawshank Deduction was one. The Shawshank Reduction. The Shipshank. I mean, we just read all the ways people had screwed it up, and it was hilarious.
There were no accidents on set this year. That Jay Leno was not injured in any way on Jay Leno's garage.
No.
No more rolling dragsters.
We crash a lot, but we don't really get injured.
Wow. So this is great. So your life is pretty much the same as it was.
It's before, pretty much the same.
Except better.
You know, this is not a good time to fall off a motorcycle because you're not going to get an ambulance.
Right.
You know, every ambulance is, you know, mm-hmm. I was on the freeway the other day. I was on the 210. And I'm accelerating on the freeway, and the truck in front of me, and a heavy truck, it hit a bump, a huge chunk of pavement popped out of the freeway, and I hit it, bam, it broke. It didn't break, but I bent the front suspension, I bent the fender. I bounced off the seat, but luckily I didn't go down. And I was like, geez, I got off to the side of the road, and I said, oh, man, this is crazy. Luckily, there wasn't hardly any traffic on the two ends. On the 210, so nobody hit me, but
were,
yeah, that was
you,
pretty,
you were on
that
a
was
motorcycle?
Pretty scary. That was pretty wild.
Are you saying you were on a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Wow. And it was a piece of pavement, huh? God.
No, a piece of pavement came out and popped out and created
right.
a pothole. And I just hit it hard.
I see.
I was driving,
God,
85-year-old motorcycle with not really any suspension or
careful.
Brakes. So bam, I just hit it hard. And, oh, jeez. But luckily, I didn't go down. So.
And what kind of motorcycle was that?
At that right now. It's
yeah,
on
what kind
now.
Of motorcycle were you in? On.
What was it?
What kind of motorcycle were you on?
1939 Brough Superior, which
wow.
is an English motorcycle.
Jay, and you just had a birthday. What age did you just turn, Mr.
I'm
Leonard?
70.
70.
Nothing.
And that's what you're driving
you know something,
on the
you
highway.
Fall down at 70. Oh my God, it hurts so much. You know, I mean, you fall off bikes a lot, but when you fall down at 70, it's like, geez,
real
stop. You know, enough.
Yeah.
So I figure I got maybe one good crash left, and that's probably it.
Yeah. Well, please be careful out there. You're a national treasure.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The national treasure, Jay.
Yeah.
The new season of Jay Leno's Garage is Wednesday. What season is this for you? Season 8? Season 5? Where are we at?
I think it's like 5B, you know.
5B.
I realize, I look at my contract, and it's like, if you go to season 6, I have to give you like a 10%
right.
raise. So we keep doing season 5A, section 1, you know, that kind of stuff. So technically, it'll be a sixth season, yeah.
Jay Leno's Garage, sixth season, Wednesday, May 20th, 10 p.m. on CNBC. Jay, happy to hear from you. Thank you for doing this. Happy birthday.
Hey,
I know I missed it the other day.
I appreciate it.
When we chatted, it's nice hearing from you. And that's it, Zuckerman.
Talk to you soon.
All right, Jay, take care.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
How about that? Jay
yeah.
Leno, huh?
Yo, his most interesting car to me. He's got one of these turbine-powered Chryslers from the
yeah.
early 60s, and that just, so it's like a jet engine in essence.
He's got the jet engine cars, and he melts bumpers, but, you know, again, he just drives everything. He's on a motorcycle from 1939 on an interstate.
A rigid frame motorcycle. And I didn't, you know, he's Jay, so I didn't want to say, but if anybody else would have said, that must have been really hurt your nuts really bad.
It's like we were talking earlier about this ticket that comes out of nowhere. There are moments on a motorcycle, Zuckerman, where you think, I'm safe. And then I've had like 2x4 pieces of wood hit my fairing and luckily not my neck on the highway doing, you know, it just surprises you. And the pothole is the worst.
I rode a lot. Yeah, you know what? There was one time I was on my motorcycle in the very early 90s. I was going north on La Cienega around that curve by Washington.
Right.
And there was a junction in the road. It was like hitting a wall. I hit that thing at 50 miles an hour so hard going around a curve, I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
And those are the things.
So you fell off the bike.
I didn't fall off, no.
No.
I somehow managed to stay on.
Wow.
But it can be really scary because, you know, it's the line between having a great time and dying is very thin.
I'm in the unfortunate position of really never crashing. I tipped over once or twice, but I've never crashed since I was 12. And I'm currently blasting around my neighborhood on a taco mini bike with a bicycle helmet. You know what it looks like in my neighborhood, Zuckerman, as people are walking up and down the street? And then here I come on a orange taco mini bike with one of my kids' bicycle helmets and shorts. What am I lowering property values, do you think?
I hope. They deserve that. I once was riding with a guy. We had parked in front of a bar. This is probably 1991. We both had Harleys, and we took off. It was an open bar, and there were a lot of guys there watching. And I took off, and I went down the street and did beautifully well. He took off with his front fork still locked with a padlock. So he accelerated and went in a nice circle and then crashed and clattered to the ground.
Oh.
And talk about that humiliation that never goes away.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yes.
No. I live in fear of the down kickstand turn. I don't like that one. That makes the bike jump that. I've done that a lot, too. Well, here we are, Zuckerman.
All right, I got to get some work done.
You got to get some work done. I've got to get some work done. The folks at home are going, why aren't you doing a show for an hour and a half? We're a little sleepy today, but we're having a busy day. But we will do a show next week. How about that? I'm going to keep going, right? You want to keep going?
Yeah, let's do it. Why don't we do a show from the new house? A nighttime, you guys can smoke cigars out on the pool, and we'll grab like a mat.
You say that now. But then at the end of the day, I get tired, grumpy Zuckerman, and you're like, well.
Yeah, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. Why don't we get Matt Farah?
Matt Farah's already on. He's already booked.
For when?
Whenever we want. It's Monday. It's a week. Usually we're doing the shows Monday so we can air them a few days later, which is nice, right?
Okay.
So we can do it Monday, but it's easy to just do it here.
If that's what you want,
we could bring Matt Farah here, but do you think that's dangerous?
No, because you know what? It's just more fun in person. Over the phone is hard. You miss the interaction.
Okay, I'll try to set that up, and we'll see if we can rejigger an open garage 6 feet away. Because Matt's got a lot of talk. He's one of the few guys out there driving press cars. I've got a couple. He's been doing a ton. He and Johnny Lieberman are just there's still cars floating around, and it's funny. When they arrived to you, Zuckerman, did I show you that picture? It says now. So a lot of times you have the manufacturers, they hand off the press fleet to these distributors that are separate from the manufacturer.
Right.
And they have their own card that says sanitized by, you know, I won't say the names of various ones, but it's funny because you should see the guys that drop the cars. But now they have
sanitized.
They have the picture and there's a guy with the Canepa glove pointing like, I have done, and they use this phrase, the deep cleaning. I have completely sanitized, which is there's just cleaning and no cleaning.
It's
you have not
like
done anything.
When you go into a cheap motel and they've got the thing around the toilet bowl and a little card that says, this room was cleaned by so-and-so.
Right. So here we have some of the biggest scientists and doctors and ERs and germ experts in the world trying to keep, and still they're getting it in the hospital. But the guy who delivers the car, he's managed to clean it all out of the car.
He's used Johnny Lieberman's curtains. He's used the old curtains that Lieberman's wife cut up and
he's
sewed
got the paper
into towels.
He's got the paper towels now. I handed off a bunch of paper towels.
If Lieberman, I have a whole ton of paper towels.
He's doing fine. He's got it. Lieberman has to bring back the Turbo S so I can drive it, all right?
Okay.
This is a sore spot with me. Somehow Porsche's letting him keep this Turbo S for weeks and weeks. What's going on? Who's Johnny Lieberman? Give us the car so we can talk about it. You know we're going to love it.
Come on, Lieberman.
Now I'm raging. Fake raging.
Lieberman.
All right. I feel like we've said everything we need to say, Zuckerman. I hope you all stay well. Keep washing your hands. Keep abiding by this quarantine. Keep driving your cars respectfully. Stop making noise with that microphone. Zuckerman,
shut up.
What do you want to add?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. All right, I'm going to leave you alone. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.